ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य। So we are reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8th, chapter 18th, entitled Lord Vamanadev, the Dwarf Incarnation, text number 13. तं वटुं वामनं दृष्ट्वा मोदमानां हर्षया कर्माणि कारयमाशु पुरस्कृत्य प्रजापतिम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। When the great sages saw the Lord as the Brahmachari dwarf Vaman, they were certainly very pleased. Thus, they placed before them Kashyap Muni, the Prajapati, and performed all the ritualistic ceremonies, such as the birthday ceremony. Purport. According to the Vedic civilization, when a child is born in the family of a Brahman, the birthday ceremony known as Jata Samskar, Jata Karma, is first performed, and then other ceremonies are also gradually performed. But when this Vaman Roop appeared in front of a Vatu, in the form of a Vatu or a Brahmachari, his sacred thread ceremony was also performed immediately. Hare Krishna. So first of all, I seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees so that I can speak on this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are reading this chapter of Lord Vaman, the dwarf incarnation, the appearance of Sri Vamandev, especially in the verses which we are reading now and the previous two verses which we read. The appearance of Sri Vamandev is described. Of course, when we see the background for any incarnation, how the Lord appears here, as we see in these verses, the Lord is personally appearing. But we see the background of how the Lord appears is very, very relevant and important. So first we will just look into that, that why the Lord appears, as Krishna himself explains, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. When there is a decline in religion, the Lord appears. So that means there is a lot of difficulties and tribulations which a devotee has to face when the Lord has to appear. We see so many examples of so many pastimes in the Bhagavatam. Appearance of Sri Narsingadev, which is we are going to celebrate within the next month. Also, how Prahlad Maharaj had to face or go through so many tribulations and trials, being tortured, being given death sentences number of times before the Lord could appear. Even when Krishna had to appear, the earth was overburdened by the demons like Kamsa, Jarasandha and others. And also, for Devaki and Vasudev to have Krishna as their son, they had to also suffer a lot. Devaki and Vasudev, being the prince, the king and the queen, they were imprisoned. They had to be tortured by their own family member Kams, and they have to see the death of their own six children right in front of their own eyes. And then Krishna appeared from the womb of Devaki. So much trials and tribulations a devotee has to experience before the Lord appears. We see in this incarnation also, Vamanadev, here Aditi, she went through that Payavrat sacrifice because her own children, the demigods, the Indra, they were dethroned and they were homeless and living as refugees. So that they were completely like demolished from their kingdom and their facilities. So in this way also, Aditi had to perform this sacrifice to get Sri Vamanadev as her son. So there we see how all these different incarnations, to have Krishna being born, a lot of tribulations and trials have to be experienced. A lot of struggle was there. Even when Lord Ramchandra appeared, there was Ravana and other demons who were destroying the Vedic culture, the Brahmanas. So that's the whole point here, is that for Krishna to appear or for the Lord to appear, one has to, as a sadhaka, struggle or perform sadhana bhakti, in which there will be or there may be difficulties which one has to go through to be ready to be have Krishna take birth in our hearts. As Maharaj was giving one time an example in one of the classes about how a potato sabji has to be offered to Radha Gopinath, so that Alu or the potato has to go through different phases in his course to be becoming offerable for Radha Gopinath. It has to be peeled, it has to be cut, it has to be boiled, and then that chaunch or that has to be given to be made fit for it to be offered to Radha Gopinath. So similarly in our lives also, if we want to be become fit for us to be enjoyed by Radha Gopinath, we have to give up this enjoying tendency. And then with the purification process, we can be completely purified and fit for Radha Gopinath to be accepted and enjoyed. So that is the whole process of appearance of the Lord within the heart. And then gradually, with purification, the tendency to enjoy will get transformed into the desire to be enjoyed by Radha Gopinath. So that is the whole process, from being the enjoyer to be desiring to be enjoyed by their lordships. That is the whole background behind this pastime also. So that's the whole idea, to be fit to be enjoyed by Krishna. Also, this is the most auspicious month of the Purushottam Mass, which is very, very auspicious. And in different places, in Vrindavan and other places, all the festivals which we celebrate throughout the year are celebrated again in this month. Like devotees celebrate in various temples, Janmashtami, Radhashtami, all the various Narsingh appearance day, all these festivals are celebrated by the devotees in this month. Basically, it's a very special and important month where devotees celebrate these festivals. Of course, for devotees, the devotees take every opportunity to glorify Krishna. That is the nature of a devotee. He sees an opportunity to glorify the Supreme Lord, whether it is Purushottam months or any other month. But especially these months are a special benedictions where we can purify ourselves and celebrate these festivals again and absorb ourselves. And it is explained that those days when you celebrate Janmashtami in Purushottam Mass or Radhashtami or different festivals, they are non-different than the actual tithi which we celebrate on those days. And one time when I think Gauranga Prabhu was giving this example of how these festivals or these special gifts or bonanzas, which are special benedictions, are given for this month, we can understand, like, there is sometimes these different shops, for example, like the showroom of the Bata showroom they have, they will organize like 20% discount on all the shoes or whatever their commodities they are selling. So all those who are not so much inspired or they can't afford that price that time, when in a regular time, they can also be inspired to go and take to this buying or taking this product commodity. But anyways, those who are the regular buyers, they will definitely anyways buy in any condition. So similarly, these special months or benedictions are given to attract us to take to this process of devotional service more seriously in a more committed way. And anyways, those who are devotees, they will take every opportunity to glorify the Supreme Lord. That is the nature of devotee. Whenever they see something, an opportunity where they can glorify Krishna, they do it. We see whether it is a happy occasion or a sad occasion. Devotees celebrate by keeping the festivals, by offering different bhogas to the deities, by doing Krishna Katha. Recently in the past week in our ashram, like many devotees go to different bases. They have Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadraji worship. So we see many devotees having very often having Chappan Bhog offerings. Somebody says that it's like the devotee joined the VTA, therefore he sponsored Chappan Bhog for their lordship. So different festivals, some occasion or other, some devotee passed in the exam to seek blessings of their lordship, or somebody failed in the exam, so they said, then also to seek the blessings of their lordship. So that is the nature of a devotee, to take every opportunity, whether you pass an exam, to seek the blessings and thank the Lord, and when you fail, take the blessings so that I can do better next time, offer bhoga and glorify the Lord and worship the Supreme Lord. So that's the nature of the devotee. So in any situation, one sees an opportunity to glorify their lordships. And when one has that vision where he wants to glorify, then Krishna gives the intelligence to see his presence everywhere. A devotee can see the presence of the Supreme Lord in everything, in every place. Because many times when devotees go out for preaching, they are confronted with this very common question that, have you seen God? Or since you are practicing for so long, even recently when I went home, many people would ask me, abhi aap to bahut saal se hain, to aapne bhagwan ka darshan kiya kya? But if we just analyze this, it is very, very, if just one sees with the open mind, one can see Krishna or Lord everywhere. You see a tree and you can see the presence of the Supreme Lord, that Krishna has given the seed, that the whole encryption, the code, to grow into a big, huge tree. You taste the water and you see Krishna's presence in that. You see the world around, the beautiful world, the amazing creations of the Supreme Lord. You go to a garden and see a flower, you can see Krishna in that. The beauty, the fragrance, no artist of this world or no scientist of this world can create. You see the human body, the beautiful, amazing vision, the senses, the organs which Krishna has given. It's amazing. One can see Krishna in everything. Only thing is, one just has to open his mind, and then the vision to see the Krishna is there. You see this cloth, the amazing design. Krishna has provided that facility for the cocoon or the silkworm to produce beautiful silk from the cocoon, and then the intelligence of the human being to make this design. And that intelligence also is coming from Krishna. So you see any wonder or anything in this world, if we are open-minded, we can see presence of Supreme Lord in our lives, in our activities. So that is what we are aspiring for as devotees, to see Krishna's hand, Krishna's presence in wherever we are, in every surrounding, in every situation, we see Krishna's hand or position. Whether we succeed or whether we fail, if we are able to see Krishna's hand, that is the success. The failure is the success if we are able to see Krishna's hand or Krishna's plan behind that. And we thank Krishna for whatever he has given, and thank him more for what he has not given. But that is also important, because if Krishna gives what we do not need in our spiritual life, because many times when we go to the Supreme Lord, we pray for different things. But Krishna, as the Supreme Lovable Master, he sometimes would not fulfill our desires. So because he understands what is good for us and what is not good for our spiritual life. So in that sense, we should thank Krishna more for not giving us what he has not. Because that is his, we can see Krishna's love in his not reciprocating with us by not giving us what we have desired. Because that he knows that is not very good for us, or that is not good for our spiritual life. So that is the vision of a devotee, seeing Krishna in any situation, in every situation, whether it is good or bad, because we have that faith that he knows what is best for my spiritual life. He is my supreme loving father. He will put me in a condition or a situation which is most favorable, or which is most conducive for my spiritual life, or more conducive for me to go back to him. He wants us back more than we want to go back. So with this conviction, if we have, then we can lead a very, very peaceful and happy life, understanding or seeing Krishna's hand in every situation. So herein now, with this, as we are discussing about Vamandev's appearance, and in this Purushottam month, so we'll just discuss from the Srimad Bhagavatam appearance of Lord Sri Krishna, how Krishna appeared, as we were discussing the trials and tribulations which Devaki and Vasudev had to go through, and after that the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna appeared. So that is reading from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna appears. That's the most transcendental and most beautiful form. And how, as here in this verse it is described, that they celebrated the appearance of Sri Vamanadev, how Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, and of course Devaki and Vasudev also, they were imprisoned. But Vasudev in his mind offered millions of cows and celebrated or made the wonderful celebration within his mind of appearance of the Supreme Lord. Unfortunately, he couldn't experience the childhood pastimes, but still within his mind. And when he was released, he fulfilled his promises which he had promised, gave dakshinas to the Brahmins which he had promised. And in Nanda Bhavan, Nanda Maharaj was extremely happy and blissful when he heard this news. So then I will read a few sections from Anandinda and Champu about the appearance and the beauty of the Supreme Lord, which Kavi Karanpur describes, and how they celebrated this beautiful festival. Of course, the Bhagavatam describes why the Lord appeared at this particular time was to increase the fortune of Sri Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai. And also Krishna wanted to relish the mellow of Shringar Ras, the paramour, the conjugal loving relationships he wanted to experience. And with this, the time for the incarnation to protect the earth from the demons coincided, and Krishna appeared in this beautiful form as Gopal. And when Krishna appears, all the surroundings, the environment, the earth, all became very suitably adjusted to please the Supreme Lord. As like a king or a big president of a country comes to a place, then all that roads and everything is nicely decorated and beautiful arrangements have been made. So similarly, these demigods, the planets, the constellations, the stars, they adjusted in such a way to create the most auspicious position or the environment. That is, they are the demigods, they are the servants of the Supreme Lord. So they themselves, to serve the Supreme Lord, that is, the demigods, they are devotees. So they decided to serve the Supreme Lord by suitably adjusting themselves in a way to be present in the most auspicious position. And all the people, their hearts in the, all the people of the world, their hearts were completely satisfied. The brahmanas were experiencing greater bliss in performing the fire sacrifices, the yajnas. And in this way, the whole atmosphere was completely purified and clean and beautiful. The devotees once again found peace and prosperity in worshipping the lotus feet of Sri Hari. Fruits filled the jubilant trees. But the envious demons, they were those who were exhibiting this inauspicious signs of degradation. They experienced inauspicious signs in their life, and they were finding it difficult to perform their deeds. And at the time, all the directions became felt as pure and joyful as the mind of a devotee who has received the mercy of Lord Srihari. So in this way, the mute bodies of all the creatures experience or manifested extraordinary beauty and youthful vitality. Happiness twinkled in everyone's eyes. So in this way, in all this beautiful setting, and the Lord, Supreme Lord, appeared. As the living entity comes out from the womb of his mother and moon appears on the lap of the eastern direction, Yogeshwar Sri Krishna, the personification of the complete bliss, appeared amongst the great festivities. So that's how the Lord appears. So all this darkness which we heard, which we saw, that comes before the Lord appears. But when the Lord appears, the devotee experiences complete satisfaction of his heart, to his full satisfaction. So all the trials and tribulations which one has to go through bears its fruit at the appearance of the Supreme Lord. So all these difficulties which a sadhaka is experiencing in his life, but when he achieves the eternal abode of the Supreme Lord, all that appears very, very insignificant. So that's how the Lord appears, bringing about complete satisfaction. And then, at that time, Krishna employed inconceivable powers through his yoga maya. He had already arranged for all the eternal associates, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, and all the gopis to appear in different parts of Braj Bhumi. That's how when the Lord comes, he comes with his whole entourage. The whole dham comes with him, and all the devotees and all his associates come. So the Lord came, and with all his associates, through his yoga maya potency, he arranged everything, and all was set for the Lord to appear and perform his wonderful pastime. Everyone, when the Lord appeared in the maternity room, everyone in the maternity room where the Lord appeared was swelled with joy upon seeing the Lord's exquisite beauty, the transcendental form. And then Mother Yashoda, who was most ecstatic after giving birth to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, she was in a ecstatic spiritual emotions she was experiencing. And when she looked towards Krishna, she could, as Kavi Karanpur describes, the most beautiful form of Krishna. There are various analogies which Kavi Karanpur describes, how Mother Yashoda perceived the beautiful form of the Supreme Lord. Of course, when Krishna was born, all the ladies who were there and Yashoda Mai, they were asleep at that time, immediately after the birth. And Krishna crying, he first cried, and it sounded like the Omkar, the Mahavakya, that where Krishna is announcing the auspicious arrival of his wonderful pastimes. So when the ladies of Vrindavan, they heard about the crying of Krishna's, they woke up and ran to see the Lord. And with the mellow of their matchless, overflowing affection, they anointed Krishna's transcendental body. The natural fragrance of Krishna's body smelled just like the musk. And after the ladies bathed Krishna in sweet ambrosia, he looked cleansed and beautiful. And then they smeared the body of the Supreme Lord Sri Gopal with the fragrant sandalwood pulp and different oils. And then with the strength of his little arms, Krishna, delicate as the tender leaves of a tree, he made all the lamps which were glowing in the maternity room like a garland of lotus flowers or flower buds. The ladies of the Vrindavan, those in the maternity room, they saw baby Krishna like a blossoming flower made of the best of the blue sapphires, or like a newly unfurled leaf of a tamal tree. Krishna looked like a fresh rain cloud decorated with the musk tilak of the goddess of fortune of the three worlds. The ointment of the greatest auspiciousness lined his eyes. His presence filled the maternity room with good fortune. Although just a small baby, he had a full head of curly hair. And to hide his unique hands on his hands and feet, he had curled his lotus fingers into his lotus palm. At that time, Krishna laid on his back with his eyes closed. Mother Yashoda awoke amidst all this joyous chattering of the elderly gopis, and leaning over the bed, she admired her gorgeous son. She saw her beautiful son for the first time. But when she saw her own reflection on Krishna's body. And when she saw her reflection, she thought it's another lady which is there on Krishna's body. So she became fearful and she was crying, "Narsingadev, go away, go away," seeking the blessings of Narsingadev, and she was crying. Beholding Krishna's tender face, Yashoda showered tears of affection that looked like an offering of a pearl necklace. That was Yashoda Mai's tears. Yashoda Mai saw then again when she saw Krishna's body. She saw her body. It appeared to her that it is a mound of blue musk that is there, softer than the butter which is churned, overflowing with nectar. His charming body appeared like the foam of a milk, being the dark blue in color. It seemed that the foam was full of musk juice. So these different analogies which the acharyas describe are just an indication to describe the beautiful form, which is the most attractive form of the Supreme Lord. When Krishna, generally we see the small children are very, very beautiful, very attractive to look at. But when the Supreme Lord, he comes as a Supreme Child, he is the most beautiful. He comes in his most beautiful form. That is what is being described. After admiring the supremely delicate form of her son, Yashoda Mai worried about her safety and feared the touch of her body might hurt his tender body. That's Krishna's body is very, very soft. Different acharyas give different examples. As here we are reading, it's like the foam of milk, so soft. And even if a leaf would fall from a tree or some newly grown leaf would fall on Krishna's hand or on his arm, it would turn red. That was Krishna's softness of his body. Of course, when Krishna, the same Krishna, when dancing on the hoods of Kalia, he can be as thunderbolt. So therefore, Krishna reveals his beauty, his form, as per the desire or inclinations of the devotee. If we see Krishna as a beautiful, if we love Krishna, then we can see these beautiful pastimes in the form of, appreciate the supreme, wonderful form. Otherwise, somebody may be seeing the form, all these demons, Hiranyakashipu comes, they could see the form, they could appreciate the form, but still, they were not attracted to it. So then, when we see, so it's Krishna's revelation, when Krishna reveals, seeing our sincere desire to serve, then we can appreciate his beautiful form. So Yashoda Mai, as she leaned over, she bathed Krishna with the milk dripping from her breasts. The elderly gopi then instructed Yashoda Mai how to breastfeed Krishna. Due to Yashoda's intense love for her beloved son, personified bliss flowed out of Krishna's of her breasts as steady streams of milk. And when milk sometimes spilled out of Krishna's lips onto his cheeks, Yashoda Mai would wipe those milk stains with her cloth. And after feeding her son, Yashoda gazed affectionately at him in great wonder and delight. She saw her child's body as made of dazzling blue sapphires. His mouth resembled a bimba fruit and his hands and feet looked like the exquisite rubies. Krishna's nails shone like precious gems. That is Krishna's nails. Just recently in the Brahmachari class, Radhika Vallabhu was explaining how different limbs, every limb of the Supreme Lord is exquisitely beautiful and most beautiful. When we describe the beauty of a person in this world, generally we do not describe the nails of any person. But here, the Supreme Lord's nails are also extremely beautiful and attractive. It's so much attractive that the sages, the jnanis, they're meditating for thousands of years to see the glare from the tip of the nails of the Supreme Lord. So that is the beauty of the nails of the Supreme Lord. That is, Krishna's beauty is all attractive. as compared to the mundane beauty. All these beautiful descriptions which we are reading are transcendental. It's completely different in contrast from the beauty of this world, which is very, very temporary, and it's just a matter of time. And as we say, it's just skin deep. But Krishna's beauty is transcendental. So therefore, we have to get attracted to this beauty of the Supreme Lord. And also, of course, Krishna's beauty is appreciated by all the living entities, on all the species. In other words, as the programming of this world is that the opposites of the same species are attracted. But in Krishna's beauty, this Maya's program, the programming of the Maya doesn't work. This Krishna's program works here. It's all the species of different, all the different living entities, all the species, they are all attracted to this transcendental magnetic beauty of the Supreme Lord. So that is the difference in Krishna's beauty. Krishna's nails shone like the precious gems. In this way, Yashoda thought her child was completely made of jewels. Then she perceived that his reddish lips look like the banduka flowers. Of course, we haven't experienced of all these flowers which we are hearing, but of course we can imagine how beautiful these will be. His nails look like the mallika flowers. Yashoda then thought, Krishna's whole body seems to be made of blue lotus flowers. He does not appear to be mine. So in this way she was deliberating and she became stunned in amazement. The beautiful soft curly hairs on the right side of Krishna's chest resemble the tender stems of a lotus flower. Seeing the mark of Sri Vats on her chest, Yashoda Mai thought it was the breast milk which has previously spilled out. She was trying to remove unsuccessfully those milk stains in Krishna's body. And she saw the beautiful sign of Lakshmi Devi, a golden line which is there on Krishna's chest. She was stunned to see, what is this beautiful line on Krishna's chest? She was thinking probably a golden bird has taken rest on Krishna's chest. So in this way, Yashoda Mai saw the beautiful form and appreciated. The tip, his lips, and all those descriptions are there, the different flowers, comparisons which we haven't experienced. So then all the elderly Brajvasi ladies, they go out and address Nanda Maharaj. Because all this was going, what we described was going inside the maternity room where Krishna appeared. So then Brajraj Nanda Maharaj was standing outside. So the Brajvasi ladies, they go out. They go, oh fortunate one, you fathered a son. Nanda Maharaj had felt previously deep aggrieved over his long-standing inability to obtain a son. So Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj, they didn't have a son for a long, long time. So his heart was completely dried up. And when he heard this beautiful sound that he fathered a son, he was blessed with a sudden downpour of nectar. He bathed in the rains of bliss, as Kavi Karanpur describes, swam in the ocean of nectar, and felt embraced by the joyful stream of the celestial Ganga. Eager to see his son, Nanda Maharaj, the body thrilled with astonishment and waves of ecstasy as he stood outside the maternity room. He had accumulated heaps of pious activities, and his eternal father of the Supreme Lord, Nanda Maharaj, had this great fortune to see the beautiful form. So Nanda Maharaj entered the maternity room, the personified seed of condensed bliss, as is described, that is Krishna. It seemed that all the auspiciousness of the three worlds resided within the Supreme Lord Krishna, the original cause of everything. Nanda saw his son as a perfect, charming person. The kajal around the Supreme Lord's eyes looked like lines on a black creeper of beauty. As the embodiment of Nanda Maharaj's good fortune, Sri Krishna bloomed like a beautiful flower in a garden of desired trees. So meeting the Supreme Sri Krishna, the beautiful form of Sri Gopal, overwhelmed Nanda Maharaj with immeasurable satisfaction. He stood motionless, stunned. His hair stood erect and tears flowed from his eyes. He appeared like a person carved in stone or a figure drawn in painting, completely absorbed. For some time, Nanda Maharaj remained in that unconscious state, like a sleeping man about to awake. So in this way, all those, and later on, then all the Brajabasi ladies and everyone spoke about this news, and everyone in the town of Brajbhumi came to know about Krishna's appearance. Nanda, Upananda, Sunanda, all of the relatives felt extreme happiness, and they came to celebrate this beautiful festival of Nandotsav. And then Nanda Maharaj invites all the Brahmanas, and the most qualified of all the Brahmanas come to perform the Jat Karma, as we are reading in this verse, the birth ceremony of the Supreme Lord. And then Nanda Maharaj invites various qualified Brahmanas, the Sutas, the Magadhas, the Vandinis, the Gayakas, they're like basically the different performers of wonderful festivals, all the Brahmanas, the reciters of the Puranas, the reciters of the family lineages, the glorifications was going on, various songs and kirtans were going on in that wonderful Nanda Bhavan. And all the devotees and all the Brajavasi ladies, very, very beautifully dressed and decorated in ornaments, they came to offer various wonderful gifts and blessings to Nanda Maharaj's Nandanandan beautiful son, Sri Gopal. And Prabhupada in the purports describes, of course, Shukadeva Goswami describes the beauty in 3-4 verses. He describes the beauty of the ladies of Brajbhumi when they come to see the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada describes that is very, very significant, because these are not ordinary ladies. That Shukadeva Goswami is not describing the beauty of some ordinary ladies. These are the ladies of Brajbhumi, those who are the eternal associates of the Supreme Lord. And they are very beautifully dressed and decorated. They come and they give blessings to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, out of maternal love and affection, that may Lord Narayan may protect you, and you be the king of Brajbhumi and protect all of us. So in this way, in Brajbhumi, all the wonderful festival was celebrated. And Nanda Maharaj gave wonderful and millions of cows to the qualified Brahmanas. Each of the cow was very well decorated with golden ornaments, wearing garlands and silken robes. And even all the damsels and everyone, they decorated their cows with golden ornaments and beautiful clothes on their backs and peacock feathers. And Prabhupada in the purports explained how that is the culture of Brajbhumi, or the culture of Krishi Goraksha Vanijyam. Prabhupada explains that they were the Vaishya, and this was the opulence of Brajbhumi, the Vaishya community. They were just simple agricultural community. And Prabhupada then explains that how to protect the cows and how rich the community was is explained in these verses. Just by protecting the cows and doing Goraksha and Krishi, we can have great opulences and real wealth. And all the people, the cowherd men, they were throwing butter, yogurt, milk, condensed milk on each other and playing in a very, very sporting way. So then also Prabhupada describes that is the real wealth of Brajbhumi, or the real wealth of a well-trained or well-performed society. Yeah, Prabhupada explained. When we consider the past condition of the agriculturalists in villages, we see how opulent it was, simply because of agricultural produce and protection of the cows. And now, because cow protection has been given up, the agriculturalist is suffering pitiably and is dressed in very poor clothes. This was in reference to how the Braj Gopas, they dress in beautiful garments when they come to see the Supreme Lord. And all the amongst these beautiful, wonderful festivities, Ishodamai and all the elderly cowherd ladies perform the beautiful Abhishek of the Supreme Lord. And Rohini Devi also is very, very beautiful, decorated and dressed, and which was not so usual because she was staying away from her husband, Vasudev. She was not so well dressed. But this occasion, as Shukadeva Goswami describes, Mahabhaga, as Rohini Devi, as most fortunate, because she could experience, or she could be a part of the wonderful pastimes, the childhood leelas, along with Yashoda Mai. in Brajbhumi, even though Devaki and Vasudev, they fathered Krishna, they gave birth to Krishna, but still Rohini Devi was more fortunate to be present in Brajbhumi with Yashoda Mai to perform this wonderful pastimes, to see these wonderful leelas and the pastimes to Supreme Lord. So in this way, we see this most wonderful festival which was performed on Krishna's appearance. So in this way, later on, as Krishna grew, he performed his most wonderful leelas and pastimes to give pleasure to the Brajavasis. And we'll just conclude with one small pastime of Krishna's stealing butter. That was one of the most wonderful pastimes of Krishna's stealing butter. It's considered as one of the most beautiful pastime. Of course, that was the mood of the Brajavasis also, to give pleasure to Krishna all the time. In all their activities, they would always remember Krishna. They would compose different songs to glorify the Supreme Lord. Their activities, Krishna would perform some activity and some pastime, and the Brajavasis, they would compose in the form of songs, or they would get it written in these pastimes into songs and sing those pastimes. We can see, actually, while we were in Rajasthan and different touring the different villages, we could see that remnants of those cultures in the schools. We went some of the schools, their children were singing some of the songs which were describing the beautiful pastimes. Like one of the songs which we were hearing was, they were describing the vision of the universal form. So they were singing this in different Brajbhasha songs, that Dekhi Sari Duniya Kanare Mukhumai. So all these different leelas, the Brajavasis, they would make it into beautiful songs and always remember and glorify the Supreme Lord. That was, their pleasure was in glorifying Krishna. That is, the devotee's pleasure is in seeing Krishna happy, in glorifying Krishna. That is devotee's pleasure. And Krishna's pleasure in is giving pleasure to his devotees. That's why all these wonderful leelas which Krishna does is primarily is to give the pleasure to his devotees. So one day while Yashoda Mai was outside his house in the courtyard, in the Angan, she was sitting with her elderly ladies and having some discussion. And then it was in the night time, and then Krishna was crying and crying, and Yashoda Mai, she was talking, and she addressed the other ladies that, oh, please see what Krishna is doing and what does Krishna want, why he's crying. And then Krishna was again crying, and then all the Brajavasi ladies, the elderly ladies, they were asking Krishna, what do you want? They were asking Krishna. So Krishna, what do you want? Do you want some kheer, or do you want some condensed milk, or do you want some butter? And then they were asking in different ways. And Krishna replied, no, no. They were asking different things. You want some cheese? No. Krishna said, no, I want freshly churned condensed butter. That was Krishna's. So the gopis continued, don't lament or don't be angry. What do you want? What do you mean by condensed butter? And then Krishna, as Pal Gopal, he pointed his index finger to the full moon, and Krishna replied, I want the freshly churned condensed butter, pointing to the moon. Krishna is pointing to the moon and saying, I want this freshly churned condensed butter. The elderly gopis said, hey Krishna, hey Gopal, don't mistake the moon for a huge piece of butter. It is a Rajahams, a swan, which is gliding across the lake of the sky. Krishna is replying, then give me that Rajahams, I want that, so that I can play with him. Quickly catch him before he reaches the shore on the bank of the lake. Krishna was like a small baby child. He was kicking his legs on the ground and crying, give me that, give me that. So in this way, Krishna was performing his childish antics. And some of the other gopis said, oh darling, what they have said, they have lied to you. What you see is not a Rajahams or a swan. It is a moon which is hanging in the sky. It's a chandra. Krishna said, then give me that chandra. I really want it. I want to play it right now with that chandra, the moon. And Krishna was crying. And then finally Yashoda Mai, got up and placed her crying son on her lap, comforting him. She placed Krishna, and she, Yashoda Mai, put Krishna on her lap. And then she says, "Oh Krishna, they are all lying actually. It's not moon, it is actually freshly churned condensed butter. It is not a Rajahams, but I cannot give you that. Just see, by chance or the arrangement of providence, it has poisonous spots. Oh Krishna, can you see those poisonous spots? It looks very tasty, but it's no one can eat that Rajahams or that condensed butter." And then Krishna says, "What is poison, mother?" And then Yashoda Mai saw that Krishna's mood is changed. So then she began to recite some story about what poison is. That's how usually mother do. They see how to divert the attention. And then Krishna, like a small baby, attentively hearing, Yashoda Mai was describing that there is an ocean of milk called Kshir Sagar. So mother, Krishna is asking, "Mother, please tell me about that ocean of Kshir or milk, and how many cows were required to make that ocean of milk?" And Yashoda Mai said, that Supreme Lord who can give the ability to milk, to give milk to the cow, can also make an ocean of milk also." And Krishna is asking, "Who is that? Who has given this ability to the cows?" And Yashoda Mai describes, "That is the Supreme Lord of creation. He is Bhagavan." To the Supreme Lord, Yashoda Mai is describing, that is her parental love. Krishna is asking, "Are you telling me the truth, mother?" Yashoda Mai saying, "Long ago," then she's describing the pastimes of the churning. "Long ago, the demigods and the demons, they had a fight. And they, to favor the demigods and bewilder the demons, the Lord churned the ocean of milk with the Mandar mountain and Vasuki as the rope and Mandar mountain as the base." And then this way she's describing the whole pastime. And Krishna is smiling. "So did they churn the ocean of milk like the gopis churn?" Yashoda Mai said, "Yes, they churned like that. But the churning of the ocean of milk produced a poison." Krishna said, "How can that produce poison? When we churn milk, it gives butter. How is that that produced poison?" Yashoda Mai said, "That was how it happened." And then Krishna said, "That what happened with the poison? Only the snakes have poison." Yashoda Mai explained how Mahadev drank that poison and the snakes drank the drops of poison which fell from Mahadev's mouth. And then Krishna was hearing, and in this way, you see that condensed bitter in the sky? That is from the Kshir Sagar. That is poisoned with that spots. So you cannot take that. So after hearing this descriptions of the Bhagavat, Krishna felt sleepy. So this is also in Parampara. To feel sleepy while hearing. Yashoda Mai put him to the rest. Krishna in an opulent bed on a soft mattress. And then Krishna put, Yashoda Mai took him on the bed and put him to rest. That's how mothers usually, they tell some story and then put them to the rest. Or do that. Next day, Yashoda Mai. So the next morning, Yashoda Mai brought butter, yogurt and other eatables in Krishna's room. Lovingly fondling his body, she said, "Wake up, O Krishna. You seem to be weak from not eating sufficiently yesterday." And after Krishna woke, Yashoda Mai cleansed his mouth with scented water, offered him a golden plate full of yogurt and other wonderful milk preparations. "Oh my Lord, eh my child, oh beloved son, please take whatever you like." And then Krishna replied, "Mother, I will not eat anything that you have brought me. Last night you lied to me and put me to sleep, and I felt very distressed due to hunger the whole night." Of course, Yashoda Mai knew what Krishna had done in the night. Yashoda Mai said, "Krishna, if you went to sleep, then who stole the butter in the night?" Krishna replied, "Mother, when did I steal your butter? You are lying." So in this way, beautiful transcendental pastimes, with his transcendental pastimes, Krishna continuously captivated the hearts of Yashoda Mai and all the Brajavasis. That's how Krishna performed this beautiful Brajalila. That's what we saw, how Krishna can captivate our heart with all his beautiful pastimes. Only thing is, we just have to transform our hearts from trying to be the enjoyers, to be in having the desire to be enjoyed by Krishna. And then Krishna will reveal his beauty and his pastimes in a most beautiful way, which we will experience and get complete satisfaction of the heart. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.